The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning, this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 18th of August, 2026, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. We've got lots to talk about this morning. I want to talk about rape culture, and then I want to talk about rape culture. But before we get there, fire on East Street North. Fire on East Street North. Last night, the Rusty Nail, historic site. I'm not sure if it was totally consumed by fire, but certainly the front facade is in the road. I only get snapshots of it, but I drove past it this morning to confirm. And I will say, if you were a friend to the Rusty Nail, go check it out. Photographers, historians, go down there and take some pictures. Oh, I almost jumped out of my bed last night. I thought the old homestead was about to go up in a blaze. We were able to contain the fire with minimal spread and damage. I say that because I don't see anything in today's papers about the fire. The fire right opposite police headquarters, you know. But the Rusty Nail has, which is a specific word, incurred its experienced, it's a specific word, I'm not getting the word right now, a lot of damage from a fire last night. I'm still in shock. See, I'm reeling after the Prime Minister's address. So I want to talk just briefly, a situation or a matter has exploded over the weekend. It is all over social media, and it is slowly coming to the more traditional media spaces. Yesterday, Eyewitness News carried the headline, "Leaked voice notes reportedly detailed disturbing alleged sexual encounter." Today's Tribune, the headline, "Foam severs ties with Grand Bahama GB leader over viral voice notes." I want to start by saying this. Always remember that while you do have the right to freedom of expression in this country, responsibilities come with that right. And one of the responsibilities we as a collective, as individuals in the collective have, is to ensure that in exercising this right, this freedom of expression, that we are not risking, we are not potentially jeopardizing justice when we speak. See, the problem is, when you're speaking, you don't know whether what you're saying can be used to or would result in an act that prejudices justice. Right? And so that's why we govern ourselves, we measure our words, that even though we have the right to freedom of expression, that there are responsibilities that come with it. I said that yesterday when somebody challenged very aggressively why the director, the founder of Foam, had not addressed the matter publicly. And I simply said, perhaps she is trying to ensure that she does not say anything that risks prejudicing justice. See, if you've heard the voice notes, then you know that there's a very good chance that the information in those voice notes are incriminating. But just because we've heard the voice notes doesn't mean that we can prove who is speaking, right? Like, there is a standard in a court of law that is different from the standard in the court of public opinion. And it's our job to ensure that what we say in the court of public opinion does not jeopardize what's happening in the court of law. It is a tragic situation. The whole thing, everything about it is just horrible. But let's give this some time. Why? Because it's the victim that we're seeking justice for primarily, right? It's the victim that we're seeking justice for primarily. I'm going to go to the phone line quickly, but I am not opening up the board yet because the next segment is reactions to the PM's address on energy. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How are you?
Allow me to stand out on something to the men of this country.
Okay.
Because something has to be wrong, Ms. Green.
Yeah.
You're talking about an incident that happened a couple of days ago.
Yes.
The same thing happened again last night.
I saw the headline in Eyewitness News this morning.
Ms. Gray, I'm trying to figure out if these fellas, them, it ain't all, you know.
No, it's...
It's a few.
It's not all, but I can tell you what the problem is. And I'm not cutting you off. Don't go nowhere. Let me tell you what the vibe is, right? So first of all, I have stopped focusing on sexual violence. Like, I haven't prioritized them, against the other stories that have been in the paper. Because a couple of people say things that suggest to me that rape culture only exists when I talk about it, right? And so, I just let the stories unfold so maybe people could see, like, hey, Green ain't even talking about it, and it's actually happening. The second thing I want to say is this, right? That, yes, it is not all men that are out there preying on the vulnerable, right?
Yeah.
However, I have to say this. We need more men to step up to the men that are out there doing these things. See, in a society where we say that women stand to the side of the man, right?
Yeah.
Then it's not just that all men aren't doing it. Are all men actively working to stop it? Or are the other men actively working to stop it? Are men saying to other men, hey, bro, you know you married, right? Like, at the very least, do you say to your friend, you know you married, right? I don't tolerate that kind of thinking, man. Why would you think you could cheat on your spouse in front of me who you invited to the wedding? Like, that's because that's just an easy one, right?
Yeah.
And so,
Green,
yes, sir, go on.
I love to use the word allege.
Uh-huh.
That the young, the young male in Grand Bahama, you heard some of the things that his mother said, it's alleged, about the girl.
Listen,
and she's supposed to be the woman who is charged.
Yeah, let's
Grand Bahama.
Julian, let's stick a pin. Let's don't go any further in describing what you're talking about. Because I want us to be very careful. Like I say, we don't want to say or do anything that will prejudice justice for the girl.
But stop there.
As a woman, right?
Yeah, I was lost.
As a woman, I am hurt. Like, and my chest feel broken, right? After I heard the exchanges. Not just, like, it's just the energy itself and then what was being said.
Yeah.
I think this is another indicator that we are in deep collective crisis.
Ms. Green, I have a daughter that is almost 30.
Mm-hmm.
When my wife had passed on. But I have a daughter that is almost 30. I have a granddaughter that is 8.
Mm-hmm.
I have to protect them.
Yes.
With the living strength that I have, I have to protect them. And for a female, I don't care if that was her auntie, her neighbor, her godmother, I don't care who it was. For a female to come and say what was said, That is an acceptable. That is acceptable. And this is a 35-year-old man, this woman having this type of
conversation. I got you.
Something that, I could never have this type of conversation with my mommy.
Julian, I appreciate absolutely, you know, what it is you're saying and what it is you're sharing. And I appreciate that people need to express this. They need to shout, let other people know, no, that ain't me.
But I got to go in closing. Let me say this in closing, Mr.
Yes, sir.
There are those people who talking about they protecting women. All of them, I can call their names. Them people from the crisis center. Them people from this place. You notice how much people already, the young lady in Elutra, I don't know if they found her yet. Somebody said something came across.
I saw things on.
I mean, what's happening with the people who are supposed to be protecting these women?
Okay, so.
I like to continue listening to you.
I got you. Thank you, Julian. So, like me, you know, the news was all over the place yesterday. I did not address it yesterday. Today, in addressing it, I let my audience know I'm going to be limited in what I say because I don't want to do or say anything that potentially prejudices justice. So I speculate and presume that the crisis center, like FOAM, needed to take a moment to what is legitimately in the public domain to assess what is legitimately public record, right? So separate from public domain slightly. To speak to the stakeholders in the space, right? They make a public statement. For instance, just an aside, I extended an invitation to the new Minister of Social Services, indicating to them that the space is available if and when they, well, I'm going to say when, because I know they're going to address it, right? For me, in relation to the opening of the new office that will house the Commission for Protection Against Violence, right, and other social services, services, right? So give the formal agencies an opportunity to formulate, right, statements that are sound, based in truth, that are measured, and do not risk jeopardizing justice. That's the answer. One more call, and then we're going to transition to the Prime Minister's statement. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Please turn down your radio. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm excellent. You know, I'm not, I like how you mentioned that, not to preempt the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't listen to the voice note. I took my time to listen to the voice note. You see, when that gentleman was speaking.
No. Listen, the headlines say leaked voice notes reportedly detail disturbed alleged sexual encounter. Let's not here discuss what we heard online because it has not been verified, right, by a court that is evidence in a matter. Let's be careful because, again, what you think you can prove in the court of public opinion cannot necessarily be proven in a court of law. Here's a text. Morning, Aaron. I don't want no distraction. Why didn't the PM told the nation who has rightful ownership of the grid and distribution? That's their text. We're going there right now. Here's a text. Aaron, rape culture became a natural occurrence. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. However, right, okay, texter. So what the texter is saying is that, or the texter is suggesting, speculating that rape culture has entrenched itself in the country after the former Minister of National Security statements, right, in an article on April 1st, 2022, where he was responding to media questions. So it's not a press statement that he formulated himself. He was at an event. He was responding to media questions about the sentence handed down to a man who I think was found guilty or pled guilty to unlawful sexual intercourse with someone who was not of the age of consent. And he said things like, well, we all know that a seven-year-old, well, I'm paraphrasing, that a seven-year-old can consent to sex even if the court does not regard that as consent, right? Bang. I also think that policymakers, state actors, religious leaders, right, social leaders, have to be very careful about their words. Because, see, you all sort of run this tape. The people don't be listening to us, right? But they are listening to you. And it's likely that they take your words very seriously in some matters. Now, whether they are able to interpret clearly what you, the message that you intended to convey, is another thing entirely. The text goes on, we have a collective interest in bringing awareness of injustice in this Bahamas. We as Bahamians are of no value, and if you're a woman, you're like a slave, according to this government. Yep. There are many instances in the law when one would have to question their place on the plantation. All right, so reactions to the PM's address on energy. We are going to run right through it. I want to start here. The PM emphasized at the beginning of his presentation that the buck stops with me. And I think that's perhaps one of the most important things he said in the presentation. Before we go there, though, I had to respond to the texters and callers yesterday. Do you think it was pre-recorded? I think it was pre-recorded. And let me tell you why I think it was pre-recorded. I think it was pre-recorded because of the pace, the rate at which the Prime Minister spoke and did not pause. That's it, right? I think it was pre-recorded. Also, there was a lot of ad-libbing in there. I thought it was great. There's a lot of ad-libbing in there, and it was impressive. But to the texters, yes, I do think it was pre-recorded. I think you all were correct. And I think they sped it up because that was a lot of information to pack into that little amount of time. In fact, it seemed like a futile exercise. And here's what I mean. Like, you know that you could not substantively, that's like seriously, address all of the matters that you spoke to in that short amount of time. And oh boy, did you speak to a lot of matters. I think the next thing that we have to point out is not just that the address started late, not just that, see, because there's all kinds of ways to be late. Like you have a 10 o'clock meeting and at 9:30, you call the people you're meeting with to indicate to them that at this point in the morning, you already know you're going to be late. And then there's the set who have a 10 o'clock meeting and then at 10:05, they tell you the meeting has been postponed till 10:30, right? That's the kind of late that suggests to me that you cannot move at the pace of your own policies. What do you mean you couldn't start the address on time? You not, Christy, you not Fidel Castro. You don't come to things late, do you? Anyway, the point is this also. To those residents who may have missed the address because the power went off as soon as the Prime Minister started speaking. Did you get any lottery numbers last night in your dreams? Because y'all are special. I mean, I could say right here, the whole thing was a failure. Just right there. Just right there. You couldn't start your own address on time. And the power went off. Not just the power went off. The constituents who have been most affected by this most recent part of the crisis are those who lost their power. Some people, their power been off all day. But I could give you a grade right there. It's called an F. It's called an F, right? But let's start here. The buck stops with me. Does it, sir? First of all, despite what 73.1A says or what you have imported from it, that on any occasion that the governor general must appoint a prime minister, they must appoint the leader of the party that commands the support of the most seats in parliament, right? But despite that, no, the buck doesn't stop with you, sir. The buck stops with the law. The buck stops with the law. That's who it stops with. Not with you. With the law. You are authorized to uphold the law that Parliament creates. You the first among equals. You the first one to uphold said laws. The authority vested in you is not to just do whatever you want, but to ensure that whatever is done adheres to what the Constitution says and what flows from it. Right? The buck stops with you, sir. But then you spend the entire evening giving us excuses and blaming other people. First of all, how do you have a whole address on the state of BPL and you ain't called the minister name once? Did you call it once? Did you? I mean, I have the speech here. The question is, did you reference the minister at all, at any point during the presentation? No. Why not? Why isn't the minister part of this conversation? Here's what is the most troubling thing for me. From the moment I heard the prime minister say, my fellow Bahamians, I knew it was a flop. We fired ministers for that. My fellow Bahamians, good evening. I know you're going to tell me some foolishness as soon as you start saying, my fellow Bahamians. One, two, three, four, five. Five times. Producer, the person really want to talk here. Good morning, caller.
Morning, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, ma'am. How are you?
I'm good. I want to address whether that was a pre-recording or not.
All right.
Okay. The prime minister in his speech,
mm-hmm.
all the goodness that's going on with, if I could recall, all the goodness that's happening or about to happen with BPL and all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But don't you know that about 5 minutes, didn't we have some type of blackout, the island-wide blackout or so last night?
It wasn't island-wide.
Well, anyway, from 5 minutes now, early in the day, they did mention the time the prime minister's speech is about to come on, right?
Mm-hmm.
By 8-something or 8 o'clock, whatever, right?
Yes, ma'am.
5 minutes to, no, 6:05.
Mm-hmm. At 8.
All of a sudden was dark.
Oh, wow, right, you're right. I got a message from someone.
I live in the South, honey. The whole of Pinewood, the Bamboo Town,
yes.
South Beach. But he's mentioning and complimenting about, so it had to have been recorded, because he would have, I think, if that was live, he would have known, half of the people can't hear you.
Right, he would have tailored the speech because there was some ad-lib in there.
Yes, and apologized. Well, okay, I'm sorry for now. This blackout, what's happening now, and this is reflection or whatever. None of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he went on. He started to compliment. Well, I have a portable radio.
Okay.
So I heard the speech, which I didn't necessarily listen to because it was hot. But listen, that was totally pre-recorded.
Thank you, ma'am.
That's all I want to tell you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Okay. I'm going to get to the text line. So, I think it was pre-recorded. And when I say ad-lib, you could ad-lib pre-recording. Here's how I determined there was some ad-lib in there. Because the speech, the address was posted to the Office of the Prime Minister website. So if you would like to read it, right, or copy and paste it, so that you could read it at will, you can go to the Office of the Prime Minister, select Press Room, and last night it was at the top of the list of press releases, right? And so there are some things he said on the camera that are not in this press release, but he did say this, I came before you myself because the buck stops with me. And so if the buck stops with you, sir, then why do you turn around and say some things that were just, I think, disparaging? I thought I copy and pasted that in red so I could get to it very quickly. But there's a part in here where you began talking about Bahamian staff. And I'm not sure if everybody appreciates what you said. I'm going to get to that in a second. I shall find it. Let me get back to the text line, and then to my notes for the address. Texter says, number one, a few weeks. Okay. Texter, I'm going to get to that at the end of the show. Okay, this is a female texter. Ma'am, I will read these. Give me a second. We can take a break later. I will get back to the other rape culture discussion. As a text, Aaron, believe it or not, we have... Oh, boy. Aaron, take it easy on our, they say, lousy PM. I don't necessarily think he is lousy. I just think he's ill-advised. That's it. I think he is ill-advised. Whoever advised him to do that last night, they need to reconsider their employment. However, whoever told them to run that pre-recording at 1.25 speed, pay them more money. Good morning, what buck your PM talking about, the missing $265 million from the NIF? Well, you see today's paper, Guardian, top of the fold, Pintard, where's the $700 million government says was transferred to NIF. The texter goes on, or the $200 million in BC assets, what they gave away to Bahama Grid Island Grid. We still waiting on somebody to do the math, and I thought the Prime Minister would have done the math for us last night. Alas, he did not. Here's a text. The PM's speech was pre-recorded, and I lost attention from 8 o'clock. I wondered if he was on another ghost move to India. What do you mean ghost move to India? Are they selling data centers in India? It's a quick question. He never apologized for disrespecting us on his travel, telling us about what he inherited from his progenitors was something else. He really needs to change his speechwriter. But that's squirming. I'm still mad for keeping us in darkness. So, again, you can find the speech on the Office of the Prime Minister's page. The address was late. Some residents lost power just as the address started. Many residents had been without power for 2 hours before the delayed start of the address. The Prime Minister blamed the FNM again, but without calling their name. Very savvy, very savvy. He also sort of referenced the impact of hurricanes, but we haven't had a major hit since Dorian, have we? And then my next note, did he really need to address the July 30th incident, the island-wide outage on July 30th? Why hasn't the minister addressed it substantively? Why did the Prime Minister have to address it? Which takes me to another point. We go like right to the end. A lot of people thought that the address was filled with information and they thought the Prime Minister did a good job. And that is reasonable for people who have not been paying attention to BEC, BPL, the energy crisis over the last 5 to 25 years. It's completely reasonable for people to think that what the Prime Minister said was last night was worth our 1 hour's worth of time, because remember, it was supposed to start at 8. In fact, Leslie Miller on Beyond the Headlines gave us more substantive information, I don't know if he's supposed to, than the Prime Minister did, which takes us to another point. You know when you said the buck stops with you, Prime Minister, is that what you used to justify saying overtime was abused at BPL? See, there's a quote here. It is not credible that a person works 24 hours straight, 3 days running, and does safe work. Sir, I too thought the same thing. I mean, I've tried it before. I used to work for Corinne Mitchell. I tried it. I thought the same thing. And then I did just a little bit of research to determine how overtime hours are calculated. And so it is disingenuous to suggest that a person is actually working 24 hours straight if they log 24 hours of overtime. Right? There is a formula. I get so many notes. I'm not sure if I could pull that the article up that explains it, right? But not only does the buck not stop with you in this instance, I think perhaps you're incorrect, sir, because there are industrial agreements and contracts and terms that determine how overtime is paid out, how it's calculated, how it's scheduled, how it's calculated, how it's paid out. That's all determined by legal mechanisms, right? But I think this is the important thing. The buck does stop with you. Management can't do anything that you do not agree with. If the buck stops with you, then the buck stops with you. You can't tell us the buck stops with you and then you take no responsibility. You accept no liability for what has occurred. But let's speak even more plainly, sir. You've been a part of government now for what? Over two decades easily? Under the Christie administration, you were the Minister of Works. It's disingenuous to say that you have it, you're not a part of the problem, but you're here to be the solution. You've always been a part of the problem. You've always been aware of what the problem is. When you were campaigning in, what, 2021? No, when you campaigning in 2017, snap election? 17, we had a short 2021. When you campaigned then? Like, you were always aware. But you create this pretense. But you didn't start the fire, but you're here to put it out. It was an excuse. Everything you said last night was an excuse. And here's why we could just very easily say that without, like, it being slander, just being disgusting. Because if you were serious about informing the people about what's happening, you would have realized that the statement required would also require several days and several sessions of break the Bahamian public. It would include you and the technocrats and the minister responsible in the conversation. What you gave us last night was just an excuse. Also, where is Pike? And where is Island Grid Solutions? This would have been a perfect opportunity for you to detail to us exactly what happened with Pike, right? Because you campaigned on the success of your energy reform strategy. You campaigned in the election on that, right? We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, more questions about Island Grid Solutions, Pike, BGC, and once again on the table, was this an attempt to not explain the privatization of BPL? We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, more texts, more notes. We'll be right back.
Girl, Joni just showed me Bala Boy on his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bala hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Running low on summer funds? Squeeze every drop of fun out of your summer with Fidelity Personal Loan. From backyard upgrades to family getaways, Fidelity is here to help. Call 356-7764 today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Orthopedics, where movement becomes medicine and treatments become triumphs. At Cleveland Clinic, it's more than just repairing what's broken. It's how we put ourselves back together to reconstruct, rehabilitate, and restore the things that give us life. The future of orthopedics is already in motion. For every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. We are walking through the Prime Minister's address last night. I got a text that said that it's another, should have been an email moment from the Prime Minister. I found the thing that I was looking for. I was shocked. This is the part of the address that shocked me last night when the Prime Minister began speaking about overtime. And he said, quote, the overwhelming, and I'm reading from the speech that was posted on the OPM website last night. The overwhelming majority of BPL's workers are decent, skilled Bahamians who keep our lights on and go out in storms when the rest of us are told to stay inside. I can't remember what that fancy little literary mechanism is. But it is not decent of you, Prime Minister, in such a slick way to throw shade at the workers at BPL. See, because the thing that you throw in shade at could not have happened if you didn't consent to it, or B, if you were doing your due diligence, sir. Because the buck stops with you. So you can't just then turn around and throw the shade and say the overwhelming majority of BPL's workers are decent. Like, first of all, what does that mean in employment terms? Is there a category in employee evaluations where you clearly define what decent means in terms of a ranking? Like, what do you mean, sir? You could imagine if I turned around and said the overwhelming majority of MPs in the Davis administration are decent. The BLP people would be so hard at me. They would never let me sleep. I am offended, sir. I'm offended. Because there's not sufficient clarity for you to be speaking like that. How could they have gotten the overtime if it were not authorized? And how could it have been authorized if the people weren't given the authority to authorize it? Let's go to the text line. Erin, the PLP was in government the majority of the Bahamas' life. Prime Minister needs to blame his own party. Perry Christie. I don't know. Retext that. Something about Brave Half for Kong? I would like to know what you meant. Easy fix for misused funds. Stop paying your government bills. Believe it or not, we have. Okay. I got you. There's another text, Ms. Green. You didn't believe me yesterday when I sent you the leaked speech. See below. No, you did. It said, my fellow Bahamians, blah, 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 blah. I didn't believe you on the my fellow Bahamians part. The blah, 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 you got me in the second half. Not so much in the first half. I so sorely disappointed in whoever wrote that speech for the Prime Minister. We finish with that, my fellow Bahamians foolishness, sir. We are not your fellow Bahamians. We are not the same, are we? We couldn't be the same. You couldn't wake up every morning and think us, the plebs, and you, the Prime Minister, are the same. That doesn't make any sense to me. So let's get back to the notes. Why nothing on Pike and IGC? Nothing substantive. Here's what he did say. Bahamas Grid Company was established to take on New Providence's transmission and distribution, and it has delivered a $130 million foundational upgrade to the grid. What happened to IGS? See, I don't care that the people who are in charge are the ones who brought the $130 million. You told us that IGS was going to be a part of this deal for 25 years. And then you told us that it's no problem with them leaving 23 years early because the majority of the work has been done. But then you came here last night to tell us to be patient, to tell us it's going to be hard, to tell us that we're going to sacrifice. That doesn't sound like, with 95% of the work has been done. Who owns the 60% that IGS was said to own? And if IGS is no longer a part of the equation, who will own the 60% once the assets are transferred? See, I didn't think the assets were going to be transferred to the SPV. The assets are transferred to the entity that's going to hold 60% of the special purpose vehicle, leaving BPL to hold the 40%. Like, Prime Minister, why didn't you feel it prudent to discuss these things with us, as opposed to throwing shade at the employees and the unions and BPL management? You could have been doing all kinds of things with your time, sir. Not one word about this attempt to privatize BEC. That's what it is. That's what it is. See, in yesterday's Guardian business section, you should grab it, Bo outlines benefits of SOE privatization. Right? Chief Executive Officer Gawin Bo told Guardian Business over the weekend that if the government is unwilling to make the decisions in regard to its state-owned enterprises, such as BPL, that a private sector entity would make, then privatization should be considered. Consider finding managers that will make the proper decisions while maintaining state ownership. See, this is not just a regular country, guys. This is a country with an archipelagic exterior. We're not doing this just for fun or for profit. We're doing it because it's required to provide or ensure equal and equitable access to state resources and services. That's why. Not for fun. We ain't just trying to make a dollar out of 50 cents. We're trying to ensure that every citizen in the country could live a basic life. So, see, I think y'all trying to privatize the wipe without telling us that you're trying to privatize the wipe. I think that that is egregious. I gone way back. I gone to the old pronunciation of the word, not the new pronunciation. Egregious. I don't know. I'm very concerned. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Oh, caller, you gone. I was getting ready to go to the phone line. That's my bad. We're going to go to the text line. Let's face it, nothing the PM does would have been good enough for you. It would be lucky enough to make it to heaven. You would have a problem with the way Jesus does things. I rebuke their foolishness. I am upset that you would just put all of those words together knowing that they don't make any sense. Okay? First of all, nothing the Prime Minister did last night was good enough for anything. See, let's go back to the old folks. Don't worry about me. Are you not shamed for yourself, is what I would ask the Prime Minister, and is what I'm asking you, Texter, for putting this foolishness out on the airwaves. These are all sensible and substantive questions that are reasonable to ask. Good morning, caller.
Great. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
All right. Take me back in time. I saw the dream of Mr. Pidlink as our prime minister. The dream of BEC was for two purposes: to provide a service to the Bahamian people and to provide jobs for Bahamian people. I never knew that the dream was to sell Batelco, BEC, to any foreigner, to any private Bahamian. And only a few of the elites are getting filthy rich in our country, and the poor people are going deeper into the crap.
Thank you, Sparky. It's an important point you make, right? I see exactly what you're saying. I want to take one step outside of it. It's not a dream. It's a constitutional obligation. It's not a dream. It's not a I hope. It's not a, I have a dream that maybe the people in Longfoot, Miragwana, could have light and essential service, a necessity in the 21st century. No, it is a constitutional obligation to ensure equal and equitable access to national services, national resources, and state services. That's what they're supposed to wake up with on their mind every day. See, that's why when I ask these questions, and I tell you, you should also ask the candidate, how will you balance your obligation to your constituents with your obligation to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas as a whole? Right? That's why we ask those sorts of questions. So that you could conceptualize the task ahead. It's not just about your constituency, it's about the whole. And Bahamas Air, BC, and those two in particular, are vital, essential services. This is not the sort of thing you can privatize. That's why worse than the failure, worse than the overt failure, is the refusal to have a conversation with us about the privatization of BEC. See, the last time this sort of thing happened, we never made sense of it. Because nobody would have a sensible conversation. I mean, the media, a media alone, that could have the conversation. Good morning, Ms. Green. Please tell the Prime Minister to stop deflecting. The Bahamian people deserve accountability. The Prime Minister needs to stop deflecting from the serious power crisis facing this country. It was deeply troubling and frankly embarrassing that the lights went out while he was addressing the nation about the very issues, that very issue affecting the Bahamian people. What is even more disappointing is the attempt to shift blame to another governing party. The Prime Minister served as DPM and Minister responsible for utilities from 2012 to 2017, while every administration has a responsibility to address the problems it inherits. Leadership also means accepting responsibilities for the problems that exist on your watch. The Bahamian people are tired of excuses. They're tired of being told why the problem is somebody else's fault. We can stick a pin there, Texter. Producer, let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Can you hear me now, Ms. Green?
I can hear you now. You got 30 seconds. I got a return. I got a lot of texts here.
All right. Yes, ma'am. But just now when you were saying the last time the exercise took place as it relates to the essential services, are you talking about the telco?
Yes.
All right, that's excellent. Because what we should do one of these days is, what the public should do, anyone who can hear me, is there's a certain individual who has a talk show who was in Parliament at the time and directly involved in that process. They speak as if...
I got you. So I don't know what happened. You had a beep, right? I don't know what happened, cousin. What I do remember of that time was this. It appeared to me, at the time and in retrospect, with more certainty in retrospect, that there was an attempt to obfuscate, to make the conversation less clear. Right? Maybe it's just the general, you know, like the political culture and just how it operates. Or maybe it was intentional. Right, to muddy the airwaves, the public discourse. Right? So you couldn't be quite sure what is just political rhetoric, what is just political mischief, and what is serious critical engagement of the issues at hand. All right. Okay. Thank you, Texter. This BPL and BGC situation reminds me of the Venezuelan electrical grid fiasco. Texter says, when you're dumb, you're dangerous, and fools always repeat bad history. I want to stick a pin right there, and let's transition back to our earlier conversation. And we're turning it on, the Texter's comment, when you're dumb, you're dangerous. And let me say to y'all young people, you can't be dumb and dangerous. You got to pick a struggle. I have to say that to the older people, too. Evidenced by the way you drive, many of you, refusing to stop at stop signs and red lights and adhere to the lines in the road and to acknowledge the right of way. See, because the right of way is the same thing as consent. If I have the right of way, you can't take it from me. I have it. You have to ask me to let you into the traffic, right? When you're dumb, you're dangerous. I texter. I said I would read these. Here's a text from the top of the show when we were talking about this unfortunate incident of sexual violence, the allegation of sexual violence in the country. First text says, a few weeks ago, I texted about three separate incidents of men trying to abduct women just walking down the street. The text was ignored. Oddly, thinking about that led me to remember three separate incidents over 25 years ago that I'd completely buried in the back of mind and ponder the danger I was in but didn't fully understand at the time, and the fact that this rape culture was never eradicated. All right, text, don't assume it was ignored. Maybe, you know, the host was unable to read it due to the nature of the show. Number two, in the first, I was walking home from school when a maroon and tan Bronco stopped and asked if I wanted a ride. Anyone around in the 80s know who that Bronco on the road belonged to. After the person say, anybody around in the 80s know who that Bronco off Old Trail Road belonged to. After repeated refusals, the man cursed at me and told me to get my backside in the expletive car. Strangely, I had no fear then because I is me. I don't have to go with you. Today, though, I realize how much danger I was facing. The third text, the second incident, at the food store checkout line, and a man passed behind me and pressed himself against me. Gross. I wish I could go back and just knock him over the head. That rapey man may be walking around doing other rapey things. The third, I was catching a bus through Frederick Street, broad daylight, when a group of men surround free with their hands. Something is wrong. Boys need to be indoctrinated in respect. Okay, texter. Thank you for sharing this. Like I said at the top of the show, I've been following the stories, but I have not necessarily prioritized them in my broadcast. I'm not being petty, but for a moment, I just wanted some people to realize that the rape culture doesn't only exist when feminists and advocates and women are talking about it. It exists. It's existing all of the time. I also want to make this note. Producer, don't mind me grabbing this bag. I know I ain't gonna be able to find the thing I'm looking for in time, but it reminds me of the conversation that took place across administrations between Davis, then leader of the PLP in opposition, and the minister and Prime Minister Minnis, when Davis suggested that Minnis should give women rape whistles. That's not the offensive part. The offensive part was the leader of the opposition at that time saying that our women, you know, should walk with mace or walk with mace, and he doesn't know that it's illegal? Like, you have to have authorization to carry mace? Like, you didn't know that at the time you were jesting? He says he wasn't jesting. He said he was being very serious, right? When he became prime minister, though, there was no talk of whistles or of mace. Anyway, the point is, when Davis became prime minister, Minnis brought the whistles to the House of Assembly. I have it all documented in a zine. Minnis brought the whistles to the House of Assembly to give out to the women. And then Monroe called that distasteful. But that's the same Monroe that said if you were to rape a nun and a prostitute, the rapist wouldn't get the same sentence, would they? I paraphrase. And that's the man who also said, yeah, no, seven-year-olds could consent, but not in law. Not in law, but yeah, they could consent. I also paraphrase that. But I have the zines. I have the articles. We'll talk about it. Rape culture has not gone anywhere. In fact, it didn't die. It multiplied. Now you see that same behavior on the road. And unfortunately, as politicians push past policy and procedure, we sort of seeing it there too, hey? You guys, be good to each other. Let's pray the power stays on. For the Prime Minister's sake. Gosh, we all around here embarrassing the Prime Minister, causing the power to turn off. It's us. We the problem. You guys have a great day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.